ADR beginning this morning on text number 33, Canto 11, Chapter 5, text 33. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we read last time the famous verse, which is the Kali Yuga avatar described in a tricky way. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangapangasta Parshadam Yajnai Sankirtana Braya Yajanti Sumedha Saha, many times quoted as the one of the major texts to events that Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and predicted in scriptures. Now this is followed. Now that only answered some of the questions. It did not answer the question, how is he known by men? Nimi had said, Nribi Namaha, by what names is he known by people, or addressed by people? And then what has happened is after there was a verse or two describing the other things, the color, the appearance, the method of worship, then there's a verse that says, like in text 23, Kriti Yuga, then there follows a verse, Hamsa Suparno Vaikuntho Dharma Yogeshwaro Amalaha Ishwara Purusha Vyakta Paramat Paramatme Ti Giyate. In other words, Iti Giyate, he is praised with these names, that the Giyate is glorified or praised, and then Hamsa Suparna Vaikuntha, and then Treta Yuga, there is a verse, Vishnu Yajna Prishni Garbaha, and so on, and then ending with Urugaya, Iti Iryate, it's the same thing, known in this way. So that Iti is like a quotation mark, thus he is known. Then Dwapara Yuga, instead of having a list of names, it has two verses of obeisances. Namaste Vasudevaya Shankarshanaya Cha Pranjumnaya Aniruddaya Tubhyam Bhagavate Namaha Narayanaya Ishaye Purushaya Mahatmane Vishveshwaraya Vishvaya Sarvabhutatmane Namaha. So that's like a little different, right? It's just not a list of names now. It's actually stotras. I mean, it's a glorification with offering obeisances. And then in the next verse, these two verses are 29 and 30, then 31, the first line, the first pada, Itti Dwarpara Stuvanti Jagadishwaram. In this way, it thus, in Dwarpara, they stuvanti, they offer stutis or prayers, Jagadisha, the Supreme Lord, O King. Huh? So there's actually, the Iti is at the end of the next verse. Here we get two verses that are in that place, you know, where the stutis have, or the names have been before, and again, these are verses of glorification, stotras, and Vande Mahapurusha Te Charanada Vindam. This is the real sentence. I offer obeisances to the Mahapurusha, who's addressed, O Mahapurusha, the Lord Mahapurusha, unto you, Charanaravindam, your lotus feet. So really it's about the lotus feet, to offering. And both these verses have this refrain, Vande Mahapurusha Te Charanaravindam. But there's not the other verses in Dwapara Yuga. They were mostly a whole bunch of names, but here is descriptions more of pastimes or activities, not names. And the only thing that's really distinctive as a name, and it's in the vocative, is Mahapurush. It doesn't seem to be as direct or obvious of what they're saying. But nevertheless, these verses are cited by Prabhupada, and here also, if you look at the word for word in text 33, Mahapurusha, O Lord Mahaprabhu. Right. So this is addressed to Mahaprabhu. You would think, you know, where it's going. I mean, where this is now in the same place as the other verses. And the same place where in the other sections where it was describing the praise of the Yuga Avatar. So you would think this would be about the Yuga Avatar for Kali Yuga. If you look at the contents of these verses, this one is just generally about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's kind of generic in its way. The other one has very specific lila, text number 34, which Sridhar Swami, writing before the advent of Mahaprabhu, shows how it is describing Ramachandra. And then we also find out it can also be used to describe Krishna. And of course, we see it as describing Mahaprabhu. We'll get to that. It turns out you can read it all three ways. But why should it not apply to Mahaprabhu? Why suddenly Ramchandra is here when you're describing the Kali Yuga avatar in that place? You know, it's just kind of interesting, like that. So let's look at 33. This, of course, are nice verses for chanting. It's the same meter as the Govinda prayers. Yeyam sada paribhavagnam abhishta doham tirtas padam shiva virinshi nutam sharanyam brityartiham pranatapala bhavabdipotam bande maha purushate charanaravindam. Very sweet, nice meter like that. So here is Vande Maha Purushate Charanaravinda. I offer homage to you, to Mahaprabhu, to your lotus feet, Te Charanaravindam. So then when we look at the translation here, my dear Lord, you are the Mahapurush, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can see where that comes from. And I worship your lotus feet. So that's the last pada. Which are the only eternal objects of meditation. Right? So now it's about his feet. So dhyayam sada. Dhyayam, worthy to be objects of the of meditation, you know? Fit to be meditated, siddha, always. They are always worthy of meditation. And now we describe these what this meditation does or what the feet do. Paribhava gnam means destroys, and destroys paribhava. Here it says the embarrassing conditions of material life. In the translation, word for word, paribhava is the insults of material existence. Because bhava, which just means existence, with a short A, is frequently used to mean material existence, not just existence as such. So this word paribhava means as itself, insult, injury, humiliation, contempt, disgrace. That's what the dictionary gives for paribhava. So whatever bad things you undergo in material existence, paribhava, it destroys that. And abhishta doham. So here's a removal of an evil and a bestower of a good. Abhishta means those things that you desire or seek or earnestly want. Abhishta doham. And grants those things or awards those things which are your, as it says here in the word for word, the true desire of the soul or the greatest desire of the soul. And then the translation helpfully adds the attainment of pure love of Godhead. So that's Mahaprabhu. Mahavaranyaya prema, Krishna prema pradayate, the same pradayataha. Gives this. So this is clear. So this is nice pair. Paribhavagnam avishta doham. Removes the insults or the disgraces. Also, when you become a devotee, sometimes your social status goes way down, at least in America, in the West. And your parents turn on you, and secretaries are rude to you, and all these things. So that aptly compensates for these things. But here, in the most general sense, it means that, you know, all the injuries that you go through in the material world. Then tirthaspadam, nice word, is the abode or the dwelling place of all the tirthas. It says here, your lotus feet are the shelter of all holy places and of all saintly authorities in line of the devotional service. It's explained later in the purport. I think maybe quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Yeah, Tirthaspadam, if you look at the very end of the purport, there's some Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives some meaning. Tirthaspadam. The original shelter of the holy places head by Gauda Kshetra and Vajramandala. This is particularly thinking of Lord Gauranga. Or the original shelter, namely the lotus feet of the Lord, of the great devotees of the Brahma Sampradaya following the succession of faithful hearing. The succession of faithful hearing begins with Srimad Ananda Tirtha. This name from Madhvacharya. So he was known as an Ananda Tirtha. So there's a hidden coded reference to Madhvacharya. To the great devotees are Tirthas. So that's Tirthaspadam. That's how this gets into the translation. Tirtha, the devotees are also described as moving Tirthas. Then, these are the feet, where all these, the tirthas, are collectively taking shelter. Shiva Varinshi Nutam, the Lord is described who is offered. Nuta means usually praise or exaltation. It comes from a verb to shout, or shout out, or exult. Glorify the Lord. Nutam, here it says bow down to, by Shiva and Varinshi. Varinshi is a name for Lord Brahma. Prabhupada many times just quotes these three words together for talking about Krishna as Shiva, Varinshi, Nutam, who's glorified or bowed down to by Shiva and Brahma. So this is one of these places that establish the supremacy of the Lord over even Shiva and Brahma. So this is just this compound, Shiva Varinshi Nutam, is often quoted by Prabhupada just by itself. And then Sharanyam, most worthy of taking shelter of. And then the next one, Brijartiham, arti means suffering. So he relieves the suffering, the arti, of Britya, which is a servant. Britya means one who carries. Pick that up. That's a servant. Lift that, carry my bag. Take these suitcases. Britya, Britya Artiham. And then the Lord is described here, Pranatapala, protector of all who simply offers respects to you. Pranati, Pranata is one who offers obeisances. So Pala, the protector of those who, nice name, huh? Pranatapala, offers protection. You are so kind that you willing protect all those who simply bow down to you with respect, and thus you mercifully receive relieve the distress of your servant. So they put those together, Brijartiham Pranatipala. And then Bhavadipotam. Again, here's Bhava, meaning material existence. Abdi means ocean, and Pota, the boat. The boat that crosses the ocean of material existence. Your lotus feet are actually the suitable boat for crossing over the ocean of birth and death. And therefore, even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva seek shelter at your lotus feet. I put it together grammatically that way. So this is like basically a list of characteristics, or even you could just say names of God. Jaya, Paribhavagna, Abhishtadoha, Tirthaspada, Shivarinshinuta, Sharanya, Brijartiha, Pranatipala, Bhavabdipota, so Mahapurusha. This is like various names of the Lord, but they're not very specific. They're kind of general. Mahapurusha shows up. That word shows up early in the Bhagavatam. Well, it shows up in that Shukadeva Goswami addresses Parikshit in Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 10, as Mahapaurushika, instead of Purusha, it's Paurushika. In other words, you take a word like, by Sanskrit, you becomes the servant or the worshipper of Mahapurusha is Mahapaurushika. And then Prabhupada says in the purport to that text in the second canto, he says, Lord Krishna is described as the Mahapurush in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11. So this is taken as a description of him. In his devotional feature as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself in his devotional attitude, descended on earth to bestow special favors on the fallen souls of the sage of Kali. There are two verses particularly suitable to offer as prayers to this Mahapurusha feature of Lord Krishna. So he's referring to these two verses. And then he mentions in discussing this word Mahapaurushika, he says Purusha means the enjoyer, and Mahapurusha means supreme enjoyer or supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. One who deserves to approach the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is called the Mahapaurushika. Anyway, that's an interesting feature of this word. There's another place. Just a second, let me get it up here. Prabhupada quotes these two stotras in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. They don't appear as verses in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but Prabhupada quotes it in his purport to Adi 2.22, where there's a lot of verses that are about refer to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the scriptures. And so here's how he translates this verse there. This is another translation. We offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Him, the Lord, upon whom we should always meditate. He destroys insults to His devotees. He removes the distresses of His devotees and satisfies their desires. He, the abode of all holy places and the shelter of all sages, Tirthaspadam, is worshipable by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. He is the boat, here it says, of the demigods for crossing the ocean of birth and death. So there's another way of translating this verse that Prabhupada did. So now let's look at the long purport here. Just a few things to point out here. He says right away, the incarnation of the personality of Godhead in Kali Yuga is described and worshipped in this verse. So here is his glorifying appearances, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Krishna Varnam. Okay, so let me just say, he says, second paragraph, the word Jayam Sada, always to be meditated upon. This is understood as also meaning that no restrictions of time and place. Niyamata Smaranena Kalaha. Niyamata. So that means, Niyamata means restrictions. So you just, sometimes verses are only to be chanted at certain times, like Gayatri is supposed to be chanted only 3 times a day. So this is taken as indicating that. Then the third paragraph, Paribhavagnam, destroys the insults, Paribhava. Anyway, just describes how people are like, especially in Kali Yuga, really beat up on by everybody. And of course, you know, anyone who identifies itself with the material body is definitely being beat up on by material nature. You know, you're not really. Let's see, for just explain some things about Tirthaspadam. And let's see. Let's see, anything else I want to. Nothing here. Six talks about Shiva Varinshi Nutam. This is interesting. The words Brijartiham Pranatapala indicates that if one simply bows down without duplicity at the lotus feet of the Lord Pranata, then the Lord will give such a sincere candidate all a protection. So this is really not advanced devotees, anyone who simply offers obeisances. But he's right to point out here, without duplicity. Because if one bows down without meaning it, or without sincerity or honesty, then that protection is not there. But if one can not be so advanced, but sincere and unduplicitous in their intentions, then that protection is there. In the seventh paragraph, Bhavabdipotam, a suitable boat for crossing the ocean of material existence. In the prayers by Lord Brahma, the Devas, to Krishna in the womb, Tvatpadaputena Mahakratena Kurvantigo Vatspadam Bhavabdhim. By accepting your lotus feet as the boat by which to cross the ocean of nescience, one follows in the footsteps of the of Mahajanas, Mahatkritena Kurvanti, the path laid down by the Mahats. And the ocean, one can cross that ocean as easily as one steps over the hoofprint of a calf. So kind of the boat becomes a bridge over the ocean. And the devas go on to say that this boat is made by the great devotees for crossing over this ocean. But even though it crosses, they leave it behind for others. So you can't miss the boat. it's always there. So here your lotus feet is this bhavabdipota, this boat for crossing the ocean of material existence. Here it says also in the eighth paragraph, beginning, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is addressed in this verse as Mahapurusha, meaning Purushottama, Purusha Uttama. And then here's another verse is quoted from the Sraitashvatara Upanishad that's also mentioned in other places as in the Adi 22 purport, Mahan Prabhu Vai Purushaha. This is a from the Saitashvatara Upanishad, this Mahan Prabhu is Mahaprabhu, Mahan Prabhu, the great Prabhu. Here it's translated as the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes the Purusha, Mahan Prabhu Vai Purushaha, to initiate the expansion of this cosmos. He is the perfect, pure goal the yogis strive to reach, this is the next lines, and the effulgent and infallible ultimate controller. Sunirmalam imam praptim ishano jyotir avyayaha. The way Prabhupada translates it in the purport to Adi 2.22 is like this. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Mahaprabhu, who disseminates transcendental enlightenment instead of initiates the expansion of the cosmos. He translates this as Sadvasyaisha Pravartaka, as disseminates transcendental enlightenment. Prabhupada goes on, just to be in touch with him is to be in contact with the indestructible Brahma Jyoti. That's a different translation. So you'll see there's one translation. This verse is quoted and translated in Adi 2.22, the purport. And then also you can see another translation in the purport to 10.87.18. It's quoted and translated. But this verse is also quoted, as it is here, as another reference to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this Mahan Purusha. You'll see in the 10th paragraph, there's a list of these words with giving meanings by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Dhyayam, the word that begins with to be meditated upon, is is the object indicated by Dhimahi in the Gayatri Mantra. Tirdaspatam, we already went through that. This also is a veiled reference to Ananda Tirtha, Jaya Tirtha, all that. There's a bunch of Tirthas there in the beginning. And then Shiva Varinshi Nutam, who's praised or glorified or worshipped by Shiva and Brahma, he points out at Srimad Advaitacharya Prabhu, who is the incarnation of Lord Shiva, Sadashiva, really, who's actually a Vishnu form, but is called Sadashiva, and the Shiva in the spiritual world is called Sadashiva. That's Advaitacharya Prabhu. And the incarnation of Varinchi, who is Haridas Thakur. Brichartiham, he who destroys by his causeless mercy the misery of his own servant, the Brahmana Vasudeva, who was afflicted with leprosy in Chaitanya Leela. So that's Bhavabdipotam, the means of crossing over the ocean of samsara, or the shelter of those who are freeing themselves from material existence, which afflicts the living entity in the form of hankering for liberation or material enjoyment. Those are the two problems there. Such persons who took advantage of this transcendental boat, the Lord's lotus feet, are Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who is saved from mukti kama, the desire for liberation, desire for liberation, and Prataparuja Mahaprabhu, who is saved from bhukti kama, or the desire for material opulence. So these are the two references to the Lord and Chaitanya Leela here. So now let's go, well, at least we'll start the next verse, the second of these stuti to Mahaprabhu, Mahaparusha. So this is text 34. Now this one is more specific. Chaktva sudusya jasurepsita rajya lakshmin